Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again he said, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' And then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I do not know you or where you come from. Away from you, me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, 'I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading and the preaching of his word. We ask this in Christ's name, amen. This morning, we are looking at a passage that speaks about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? If, according to our understanding, a kingdom is all the land that a king possesses, and the rule over that land and all the people who occupy it, then it can be said that the kingdom of God is all places on the earth and all people within it. But that's not what the Bible is talking about as we look at passages like the one we read today. The Jewish people in the crowd would have assumed when Jesus was mentioning the kingdom of God that he was talking about the fulfillment of the great promise that God would anoint a king and that king would establish God's kingdom, and that kingdom would include all the Jews. To paraphrase or misquote a 1986 animated film, they believed that all Jews go to heaven. that it was just a matter of time before the Messiah came. And when the Messiah came, he would inaugurate the kingdom of God, and all the Jews would suddenly be the authority, the power. But is that true? Not according to Jesus. Hear what Jesus has to say. He is walking from Galilee to Jerusalem. And as he is going, we have looked at this from chapter 9 to 19. We have been looking at Jesus walking, and as he gets closer to Jerusalem, he is pivoting. And when he began and left Galilee, he was drawing people to himself, calling disciples, asking them to join him. Now that he is entering Jerusalem, he is, and has been over the last chapter or so, created a dividing line, that there are his disciples and how they are different than merely religious people. And so maybe he can see Jerusalem in the foreground. Maybe he is beginning to see that people are coming out to meet with him. We already had last week, we were talking about the scene in the synagogue where Jesus heals on the Sabbath and how the religious leaders are unwilling to repent. And Jesus is teaching, Jesus is talking, and he says, "What shall I compare? What's similar to the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God like?" And the first thing he says is that the kingdom of God is expansive. And he gives us two comparisons. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. A mustard seed that starts off tiny. Not as small as a poppy seed, but certainly not as big as a sunflower seed. A tiny seed that a farmer plants in his garden. And it starts off small, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it becomes a tree large enough that birds will nest in it. What Jesus is talking about here is the black mustard seed and the black mustard plant, which, when full grown, is anywhere between four and 10 feet in height. This giant ball of growth from this tiny seed, sufficient that birds nest in it. There are some shrubbery bushes out in front of the church here, and they might be 10 feet high, probably not, 7 or 8. Bigger than that, birds nest in those from one tiny seed. Or Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like leaven, is like yeast. Again, starts off as a relatively small amount, a pinch. A woman, it's interesting when Jesus compares the kingdom, the first story is about a man who takes a seed. Second is a woman who takes yeast. Jesus is, if nothing else, inclusive. This woman takes this yeast and puts it into 3 seahs of flour. A seah is our current equivalent of about 12 liters. So 3 measures would be about 40 to 45 pounds of flour, which is a lot. But what happens? This little amount of yeast can be worked into the entire batch. I don't know how many of you during the pandemic made sourdough bread and you have a starter. Doesn't take a lot of the starter, and you keep cutting it in half and cutting it in half and or cutting it in thirds. You make a loaf with one, you add ingredients, you give someone else a starter, and they take that yeast and it multiplies and it multiplies and it multiplies and it multiplies and it multiplies. And in theory, it just keeps going forever. And that's the picture here. That you take this yeast, this leavening, and it leavens the whole thing. And then you take it and it continues to work into every part of the dough. The kingdom of God, whether it is agricultural or culinary, is described as an inevitable process of gradual growth. But this description demands that we trust God's timing and God's process. The kingdom of God is going to start small, Jesus says, but it will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow. And it will grow according to God's time. It'll grow according to God's process. And what God has begun, God will bring to completion. The kingdom of God is described as having incredible growth. It is expansive. Secondly, the kingdom of God is exclusive. It is entered through the narrow door. Are only a few going to be saved? He is asked, and he says, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. Because he concludes this picture by saying, when you realize what is going on, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom of God. And all the people from the east and west and north and south that make up the kingdom of God. But it is entered through a narrow door. And Jesus says in the NIV, make every effort to enter through that narrow door, because many will try, but will not be able. And the word that Luke uses here, and the word that Jesus uses, that Luke records, is the Greek word agonizome, which we get the word agonize. Suffer. Strive. Fight. To get in. Do whatever you can to squeeze yourself through that narrow door. We are to fight hard to get in while we still have time. Because many will seek, but few will have the strength or the stamina or the ability or the fight. Not everyone goes to heaven. Some of every part of the earth will be at the feast that is inside the house. But not everyone is entering the kingdom. Others will be denied access, which will lead to weeping and the gnashing of teeth, snarling and sadness, fighting and biting. And we don't want to be on the outside. Jesus says to us, go through the narrow door while it is still open. Do what you must. Agonize so that you get through the door while it is still open. Because there is coming a time when the door will close. The metaphorical housemaster, who is Jesus, he is the one who has been teaching in the streets, is a sort of heavenly bouncer. Many are going to approach the closed door when it closes and knock. But the owner of the house will say, it's too late. I don't know you, and I don't know where you're coming from. And they will say, we ate with you and we drank with you and we let you teach in our streets. The problem is that going to the same restaurant as other people does not mean you are eating with them. Letting someone speak does not mean that you are listening or agree. That exposure to Jesus is not a relationship with Jesus. And the danger is that we can have Jesus exposure and not really be affected. We can be in the room, but not be paying attention, not be engaged. They had the opportunity to trust Jesus's means of access. They had the opportunity while the door was open, and they refused. Sam Shoemaker, one of the founding members of Alcoholics Anonymous, once said, you know what a lot of religious people are like? They are like a lot of people sitting around a railroad station thinking they are on a train. Everybody is talking about travel. And you hear the names of the stations, and you have the tickets, and there's the smell of baggage around you, and a great deal of stir. And if you sit there long enough, you almost think you are on a train, but you are not. You only start to get converted at that point where you get on the train and get pulled out of the station. And you do get pulled out. You do not walk on your own. So Jesus changes the question as he is thinking, or as Luke is compacting these statements and these teachings, to say what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus takes that question, will the saved be few? And he changes it in such a way that we are left with the question, will the saved be you? Are you accepting the open door? The door that says, while we still have breath in our lungs, that if we believe that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. That is the doorway. And we have to make every effort to reconcile our lives to the fact that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. The kingdom of God is described as having intentional membership. It is exclusive. And thirdly, the kingdom of God is exceptional. We see that as some come to Jesus and say, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." See, the kingdom of God is unlike any other kingdom. And Luke includes this interaction because we see what the kingdom of Herod and what so many earthly kingdoms are like. They are built around fear. Herod by Jesus is described as a fox. He is the fox in the hen house. He is a cunning and crafty but small predator who serves his own appetite. But that's not what the kingdom of God is like. If Herod is a fox in the hen house, then Jesus describes himself as the hen in the hen house. But unlike the metaphor or the Aesop's fable or the picture of how we think things would work out, there's a fox in the hen house, and the hen wins. How I wish you would trust me enough that I could gather you under my wing, that I could gather the children of Jerusalem, the people of God, under my wing, protect them, sacrifice myself. The fox might get one of us, but he ain't going to get us all. So I will protect you, and we will be saved. But you were unwilling. That's the trouble. Jesus doesn't force our allegiance. Jesus doesn't say, "You have to submit." He says, "How I wish I could gather you up, but you don't wish it." And that could be the end of the story. That is typically the end of the story. "This is what I would like to do for you." "Oh, I don't want you to do that. All right, I'll ask someone else." That's typically how things go in our lives, but that's not what Jesus does. Because what he says is, "Your house is going to be left desolate, and I will not see you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" God in Christ is offering one last chance. He's coming back one last time. Psalm 118:26, which is where this statement comes from, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," recognizes that the king is going to enter the temple. That there's going to come a time when the king and his entourage comes into the temple, and the people of God are going to delight. And when they recognize Jesus for who he really is, the judgment against them will relent. And the same is true for us. Now, we may say this happened on Palm Sunday, and maybe it did. But I have a feeling that there were way more Gentile voices that were shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," than Jewish voices on Palm Sunday. We'll look at that in a couple of weeks. It may be the day after Palm Sunday, when Jesus returns to the temple. It may be that week. It may be Good Friday. It may be Easter. It may be later. But we all need to recognize who Jesus is, Lord and Savior. Otherwise, we will be outside weeping and gnashing our teeth. The kingdom of God is described as having incredible grace, allowing the marginalized to be members. Our sermon in a sentence is this: the kingdom of God is described by growth and grace. In fact, not all dogs go to heaven. Not all people go to heaven. But as Jesus said, the kingdom will inevitably grow with those who have committed their lives to him as Lord. And the kingdom of God is inevitably going out in the name of the Lord with grace, calling others to repentance, to wholeness, to healing, just as Jesus did. Today and tomorrow, I am going out and I am casting out demons, and I am healing illness and disease. And on the third day, that great and glorious third day we know as Easter, the work will be done. Now, maybe Jesus was just saying, "I'm 3 days from Jerusalem," but I think there's a higher message in there as well. What am I going to be doing today? Casting out demons and healing in the name of Jesus. What am I going to be doing tomorrow? Same thing. What will I say tomorrow? What am I doing today? What am I doing tomorrow? What am I going to say the next day? What am I doing today? What am I doing tomorrow? And one of these days, the third day is going to come. The kingdom of God is described as growth and grace. While we have breath, the door remains open. So let us all strive to enter while we have time. And let us make every effort to enter with others by our side. Let us agonize in our effort to increase the kingdom, and may God continue to grant us the grace to continue until he returns. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It is described by grace and growth, by growth and grace.